That tape is blank, Gilbert.
You still got that Reebok.
It's not rewound. It's not re-cued. We got to sit here and kill time until this noise stops.
Come back.
You hear that noise?
In that case, it's very fortunate that we have Cousin Al sitting right here.
Cousin Al, tell us about those early days.
Cousin Al's great at killing time. Cousin Al kills anything he sits on.
So far in fact that it's way before fat. You were on K-Dow. Now, what years are we talking about?
1970. We started, K-Dow went on the air in January 1970.
Tell about how you went on the air, Al. Now, that's a story I've heard.
Oh, yeah, Big Tiny. What was his last name, Laura? Tiny Freeman, that's the guy. And he was about 6'15". You know the guy that, what's his name talks about? Tiny really was. And he was, he did the bluegrass show and whatever else came into his mind on this little station called K-Dow in the heart of real chic Los Gatos. And we have all these fine folks down there starting this station. Part of the Crab Nebula?
Crab Nebula Network.
Crab Nebula Network. And I was playing bluegrass at the time and I heard about this little station in Los Gatos that played bluegrass music on purpose. I went down there, and I walked in, and I saw this strange combination of people. Cease McGowan,
Lorenzo,
and...
Lorenzo, who owned half of this place.
Of Fat Radio.
KTAO.
KTAO, yes, all of them. And I had my narrow tie on, my military haircut, and...
That was the end of that.
Don't say that, Laura, now. And... You met me shortly after that.
Yeah, careful with Al. He's trying to get a straight job.
And I said...
I got to get a word in on him. I've been waiting for years to do it.
Yes. I said, I understand y'all play bluegrass music on purpose. And Lorenzo said, yes. I said, when? He says, whenever the guy shows up. I said, well... He says, do you know anybody that can play bluegrass? And I said, well, yeah, I know a few people. He says, well, send him down because this guy's leaving. I said, well, when is he supposed to be on? He said, well, next Thursday night or something. So next Thursday night I listened. I just got an FM receiver finally. And this guy is Tiny Freeman's playing this conglomeration of bluegrass and old country. And I said, geez, maybe I should go down there and see what I could do. So I went down there the next week and told Lorenzo that I had found a guy that would replace this guy. And he says, who is it? And I said, me. And he says, oh, yeah. Lorenzo, he never backed away from anybody. And and I was no exception. He said, fine, come on down here and try it. I went down there and I walk in the studio. Tiny's there. He's got his, just like Rocket Man, he's got his engineering boots over in the corner. And no socks on. And for a sandwich, this guy used to take a loaf of San Francisco round French bread and cut it in half, fill it with about 4 pounds of salami. And that's his hand. And he would do that with hard cider. This man was crazy about hard cider. So I walked in and I said, I'm Alan. I'm going to supposed to go on the air at 8 o'clock. He says, oh, yeah? Lorenzo said that I should. He says, oh, yeah? I said, well... You know, like Tiny, a little frightened and tongue-tied there. And he says, all right. He says, this thing here turns on the mic. This thing here turns on this turntable, and this one turns on this turntable. I got to go get me a sandwich. And the guy opened the door and left, man, and I was there all alone. And, jeez, I played a Flat and Scruggs. I'll never forget that. Of course, kick it off at Flat and Scruggs, and I came back on, and I said that was... in my inimitable style, you know, it started right there. That was flat and and from there it's history, folks.
Has it changed much? Has the Cousin Al Bluegrass Show changed much?
Unfortunately, as Rocket Man said, his favorite request on Cousin Al's show is a tight segue. I hate to have to give credit to that boy for that, but it's true.
Right.
He said that.
Right.
Come out of his own mouth.
And you've been refusing ever since. That's one request you won't play.
That's real fine. That's good days.
Are you on since 1970?
Yeah, since 1970, when you had to take a test and all that.
Oh, yeah.
I remember Lorenzo start saying, now you, well, he called me up after about 10 minutes into the show, and I said, do I have the job? He says, well, if you show up, you know. So that was enough encouragement for me. You know how I am. And so I showed up the next week and started. He actually, Big Tiny did come back about 45 minutes early, and he says, that's good. And I just moved over and took the chair, you know, and that was it. My tryout was done. And he left after that. He ran for state senator up in Washington.
He lived on a high houseboat.
Tugboat. Yeah, he lived on a tugboat, and when he wasn't on the boat, he was in an engine. And his campaign poster is him standing by a diesel railroad switch engine. You know, giving the freeway salute. One of the finer posters in the world.
Is he still at KRAB?
Well, I haven't heard from him in a long time. I haven't heard anybody that's even heard of him. Which really worries me, but if anybody knows what happened to Tiny.
You're up in the Great Northwest, you can listen to KRAB in Seattle.
Oh, that truly was out of a garage. I went up and looked at it. It truly was.
It was a donut shop.
Well, that was in the front, wasn't it?
Now it's an old firehouse.
It is?
They moved.
Yeah, they moved since then.
About 4 or 5 years ago.
And where was that other crummy station in Portland?
Portland. KBOO.
Yeah, KBOO.
Portland,
yeah.
Oregon.
That was part of the Crab Nebula, and of course, you all out in St. Louis, and... Those were good times. Radio had never been better. We used to have at KTAO, we always had these ethnic people. And my show was on Saturdays, and I either had an Irishman in front of me or in back of me. And
Norman Patrick Doyle.
Hugh McLaurin was first.
Oh, yeah.
Norman Patrick Doyle. Nihilism means nothing to the dancing peasant.
Yes. Right. Norman, Father Norman. Oh, he used to come down and bless us all the time. He loved to bless us bluegrass folks, but they knew it was... And he'd come down with a bottle of Irish mist and bless us all, you know? He was just the finest preacher I ever met in my life. Father, he's still around here selling electronics, which I don't believe.
Does he still do the St. Patrick's Day?
Yeah, I didn't hear about it this year, so I don't think he did.
You
went
to it?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Him and Pat
Moynihan. There's a party you shouldn't miss.
Really? Oh, yeah, they caught me there a couple of times, and I haven't been allowed back since, but... Scotsman allowed it.
He used to come down to Cape Hat and do the St. Patty's Day show dressed as a leprechaun.
Mm-hmm. Always. Or a priest, one or the other.
And to see this man walk up in a green waistcoat up this in
downtown
Gilroy.
I still have this broadcast license. Patrick, if you're listening, that's where it is. It's somewhere in my garage.
Cape Hat was the first introduction of hippies to Gilroy. They hadn't seen anything as strange.
They wouldn't know.
The people who worked for us. In fact, down at the Green Hut, they still remember Buffalo Bob. Buffalo Bob had a ponytail and a big walrus mustache, and he'd go down to the Green Hut, which is a serious redneck bar, and they would buy him drinks just to get him messed up, and then they'd bet him that he couldn't do things like break a 2x4 with his fist. And he'd come up to do his show, normal for Bob, and I love Bob. Bob is probably the best disc jockey ever, bar none.
Ruffalo Bob.
I think that he's the best. I've loved his style forever. Anyway, he'd come up, and his hand would be all gnarled. What happened? He goes, I broke it.
Gilroy had a very hard time with us for the first about 4 years, wasn't it?
Well, that's one of the reasons we hung out at Augie's. They're the only ones that would let us in, not to be honest.
And people in Gilroy, I have to admit that the people in Gilroy were quite provincial towards KFAT for the first 4 years.
No question about
they,
it.
They really just, I mean, it was...
Touch and go now, there a few times.
They'd never seen anything like this
before. The slogan, Gilroy, the garlic capital
of
the world.
No, you know who that was?
Who?
Carl Hess.
Carl Hess,
who just left.
Here?
Carl just left a moment ago.
Yes,
Carl, if you're listening,
gets
here's credit
for that.
I didn't invent that,
and we did use it for years before Gilroy picked it up. I want to make that positively clear. That paid you back for the 4 years.
There you go.
Gilroy, I want Carl J. to have credit on all future Garlic Festival promotions.
Well, we'll get him in on that first thing Monday morning, buddy.
Okay.
he did do that.
Yeah. Laura, I want to ask you about...
But Gilroy, you know, it was... It was the garlic. I heard a story once about Gilroy and KFAT. The people from Gilroy seemed to never leave Gilroy. Once one of the restaurant owners went to a convention or something up in the city and said, well, he was from Gilroy, not expecting any response. And what he got, the guy who he's talking to looked at him and said, well, that's where KFAT is. And that was the first, it came back to town. It was a big rumor. It was a really big rumor. The guy spread it all over town that Gilroy was known because of KFAT. And they didn't even realize that,
Laura,
that KFAT emanated outside of the city limits. It was like...
We're talking about KFAT being accepted by not only Gilroy, but it extended further. What happened when we came on the air, and wasn't it your job to try and make contacts with record companies? Or what happened with record companies? What kind of acceptance did KFAT have? I mean, there wasn't another station like it.
Well, I got hired to be music director by Jeremy saying, you're music director, call collect. That was all the instruction I had. And I thought, call collect? you know, and I didn't. So I learned how to do music director by real trial and error. It was very interesting. I didn't know anything about the record industry at all. It was a gas. I had a wonderful time. I created a real rapport with record companies, which was fun. We had one of the first record guys to ever visit Gilroy. I remember this story because it was a great one. Was a guy from Capricorn Records. Now, Capricorn was the Marshall Tucker label. It was right up our alley. He knew it. He knew it, too. He came up from L.A., real slick guy, came to the studio in Gilroy, got there, got lost, got there about 8 o'clock at night, where Tiny was at the time living in the station.
With children.
So, with children, and so we fixed him dinner on the hot plate, and it was, that poor guy just never recovered. We got him drunk, fixed him dinner, got him drunk, and put him on the air.
Great. Did you have much trouble with record companies sending records?
Some record companies really loved us. We really loved us. They sent us the whole catalog right away.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they loved us because of Emmylou Harris.
What about
and
the small labels? Wouldn't they love us because we're playing their
labels? The small labels thought we were a gift from heaven because we'd play their albums. And the one in particular was Moose Turd Pie. We sold more copies of we've sold enough copies of Moose Turd Pie in the San Jose market to actually turn the big record companies big record companies green with envy.
Is that right?
Phila Records.
You know,
spread the rumor.
I went up there when I first came on the station. I went up to Stern Grove where Utah Phillips was performing, and I wanted to get an ID from him. I was hoping he'd say, "Hi, this is Utah Phillips. You listen to KFAT. It's good though, right?"
Wouldn't do it.
Well, wait. Yeah, I think he did. In fact, he did.
Yeah.
And I forget who erased the tape eventually. But I approached the guy and I said, "Mr. Phillips, my name's Gilbert and I'm with KFAT Radio and I want you to know that you have the most requested song at our station." And this is a man who considers himself, and rightfully so, a very talented, gifted musicologist, ethnomusicologist. The guy knows all kinds of music. He's a real musician.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "You have the most requested song at our station." And his face lit up and he beamed and he said, "Really? What's that?" And I said, "Moose Turd Pie." And his whole demeanor fell. He could have picked his face and chin right up the floor. I mean,
remember the time when we first had fat shirts and you went up to a Willie Nelson concert and they wouldn't let you and Bob or somebody.
Tara Lynn
went up to a Willie Nelson concert and they were going to give Willie Nelson some fat shirts, only nobody would let them in.
The Hells Angels wouldn't
the
let
Hell's
Terrell
Angels wouldn't th- let him in. And Gilbert, who is not one of your bigger people,
who's
in the
well
world,
over 5 feet tall.
Two or three wells.
Had a T-shirt and you have.
Oh, what happened was...
I can't.
Terrell and I were there, and we were walking around backstage. We couldn't get to Willie, and these Hell's Angels were, you know, around. There was one behemoth of a Hell's Angel there. And he said, "No, you can't come back." So I said, "Well, I want to give him a T-shirt." "No, you can't come back." I said, I looked up at this giant, and I said, "I don't suppose I could muscle you into it, could I?" Terrell Lynn's face turned absolutely pale, and he started backing away from me. Because in case any bodies were going to fly, he didn't want to be in the way of getting blood on his clothes, you know. And he said, "I don't believe it." And he just backed off, and the angel looked down at me as if he didn't hear correctly and was too embarrassed to say, "Would you say that again?" Right? So I said, "Well, gotta go. I guess not. Thanks." And
that was the end of that. KFAT was not very well accepted. Just didn't have what it took to get backstage or anything like that. We were always like the stepchild,
the brown
of radio.
Sheep
we
of the
just,
family.
We just really had to work to get anything done for a long time there.
Yeah, about a year and a half, as I recall, before folks really started to. To get recognized. Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you how many times when I first came on the air tried to get people to give me interviews, you know, celebs passing through town, authors, whatever, calling up publicists and public relations people, and I'd say I'm with KFAT, and invariably they'd say, "KFAG?" I had never heard
that
of KFAG.
That one happened in Portland.
Yeah, well, you know, how do you explain, and then invariably people would say, "Well, what's the format at KFAT?" Well, has anyone ever come up with an explanation for the format?
Yeah.
I always just say it's good.
Fat.
What's the definition? I mean, you especially, Laura, you would have to present some definition of the format to record companies and other people. How do you define KFAT? You had to do it because they need a label to hang on to,
you
right?
You know, KFAT was really a media person station. A lot of media people marveled at our gall.
Yes.
And they listened to us because it was something.
It was definitely something, yes. You must say, though... While we were getting known, if you said you were fat and they said, "What's that?" After you said you were from Fat the second time, It was much easier. Most folks accepted fat once you told them what it was. And, you know, we look like fat, you know. I mean,
I did. No,
yes. Gordy was a fine example.
Yeah. Sherman's lost. Sherman's about the only one here I can see that's lost weight.
Yes.
I lost weight. I'm still doing it.
You lost weight.
That's true. That's true.
I keep trying.
But I mean, you know, fat had a, you know, fat was, they knew who we were after we told them, and then there was no problem the second time, and that's took about a year and a half for the second time around, and after that it started getting good, and Merle Haggard accepted us, didn't he?
He thought we were pretty strange.
Buck Owens never did, though.
Buck Owens. Remember that?
Oh, we did.
Buck Owens. Isn't that something? We play more Buck Owens than even Miss Bakersfield stations.
Well, we did it.
K-U-Z-Z. Because.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
You know, we didn't mention something. A lot of people up in the Bay Area don't know that there was a period, and I forget how long it was. It was maybe half a year when we got a power increase at the first transmitter location. We were mainly a Santa Cruz station for a while, and in the Santa Cruz Bay Area, Monterey.
That changed in September of 76, Gordy.
Yeah, we
after
were,
I'd been here for about 6 months.
Yeah, we were a Santa Cruz station.
And we had lots of folks down there.
Oh.
Heavily supported there.
Still.
I remember the day it changed, the day we increased our power.
I remember. They were supposed to wake me up at 7 o'clock, and that blankety-blank didn't. He said, well, I know how they like it in San Jose, rock and roll. I said, but that's not fat radio. The guy was on rock and roll.
Who's that?
I can't
that
even remember that guy's
say
name.
Say that again, Laura.
Tiny Tim is in Alaska running a pet store in Skagway.
Yeah,
Tiny Tim.
I don't know. I was just handed a bullet in here, folks. You're not going to
know. Tiny Tim is in Alaska.
Oh, that's the man he was just talking about, Tiny Tim. We just got some information for you, Al.
I thought you were talking about Tiny Friedman.
I am.
I got definite information that Tiny Friedman is alive and well at Crab, doing a show called Music with Stretch Marks.
All right.
good fat time stuff. He's supposed to try to call us. Some listener actually called Crab and got them started on trying to track down Tiny Friedman and get him to call us.
Do you guys remember when Jeremy was on the air with the Eclectic Radio Hour? He played an hour of Tibetan.
Do I remember?
Tibetan gongs.
Somewhere out there, what was his name? He was a guy in Morgan Hill who was our mentor for a while. He was our patron saint. You remember who I'm talking about? Used to send us those great letters.
He's the one that called Jeremy the Dork.
Named Jeremy the Dork.
Okay.
And I can't
Who's
remember
that dork
his name.
On Sunday
he's,
morning?
He's a broadcast professor at San Jose State. Now
Sebastian
Toombs.
Right,
that's his name.
Right.
Oh,
right.
I do know his name at San Jose State, but I've been sworn to secrecy. I traded that in exchange for mountain climbing lessons, which you see I've taken for you, sir.
The mountain.
I climbed any mountain the other day.
Oh, I know that part.
What did Jeremy call his show? The what?
The Eclectic Radio Hour.
Well, it scared me because...
because you came from KTAO, jukebox.
Yes, that's the one. And the first time on the radio, you know, after I made this deal with Laura Ellen between the commercials and songs and queuing up, it was real fine that first time I met Laura Ellen. I mean, at Fat. Oh, that was beautiful. I still remember.
And you didn't meet at
Kato. Well, I saw her walk by the window a couple of times and said howdy.
I was on vacation at Kato.
You broke it now. I forgot what I was going to say.
Well, that's too bad.
Hey, we still got the earthquake tape.
Yeah.
You got it? You got ready?
We had that big build up for it a while back, and then we let everybody down.
Okay.
Where's Bob? Are we going to call Bob?
Pretend it's really happening.
Cassidy, we've been calling Buffalo Bob for about 10 hours.
I bet he's not answering.
Maybe he's been calling him the wrong thing. Huh?
He's on his way.
I warned him last night. I saw him last night.
Well, let's give him till noon.
Yeah. Bob, if you're listening, damn it, give us a call. Don't cop out on me here.
We love you, Bob.
We do.
If you don't call in, Bob, I want my $10 back, okay?
One Sunday night, I was on air, and I turned around to go through this little... We had this control room, and the records were outside the control room. You had to go through this little door, and you know that I'm a little guy, and so I can squeeze through, you know, real tiny spaces. And I turned around to go out the door, and there was Buffalo Bob, and I couldn't get by the cat, and I... Oh, that's a sight. I'll never forget Buffalo Bob. And I have to agree with you, Gordy, one of the finest disc jockeys.
Yes.
As far as music content... was concerned that I've ever listened to, but not the finest. I mean, you know, we got to talk about Sherwood.
No, I'm talking about his
fine.
Personality.
Still.
Oh, he had a great personality.
Oh, he did? On and off?
He was an arid wit. I mean, it sucked the moisture right out of the air.
Yeah, he was fine.
Oh, I don't know what made me think this, but somehow I thought about Tom Campbell. What happened when Tom Campbell went on the air? We had a huge
That's the best April Fool's ever on radio.
Don Mussel and I did that on the air April Fool's morning. He was there to help me. And we had so many complaints about Tom Campbell. I mean, we had him on doing what ads? What were they now?
Cal Stereo,
which later went broke on us and stiffed us for a bunch of money.
And the Chevrolet place up on Stevens Creek.
And anyway,
Carl
Jay,
as soon as Cal Stereo pays us, we'll pay you, pal.
Yeah. And so we decided that we used to show him all your letters, you know, and just kind of see what his reaction would be. We took all those nasty letters up and showed them to him. I don't suppose that was probably the kindest thing in the world to do.
Mm-hmm.
But we decided that we should put him on the air on April Fool's morning. And he would not come to our studios and do it live. He was afraid he was going to be shot, you know, someone would blow the place up. But the response was quite amazing. We got maybe 200 phone calls in an hour. It was wonderful. Well, I did all the breaks, and we just played the music.
I did an interview with him because the response was so overwhelming that I went to his house and did an interview with him. And
isn't he one of the nicest people you could ever meet?
Well, he's generally a very nice guy.
Yeah, I met him once, and I remember he's the only person I've ever seen who was wearing two watches, one on each wrist, with diamonds in them.
Wow. But I thought he was a really nice guy, and his wife is lovely. It was a lovely house, and he walked all over me. The guy's a real professional, and there was no way that I could conduct that interview. I mean, it was his interview and his show. And then I remember I broke down the interview into two shows because I had a 15-minute pre-recorded show on at the time. And the response has been so angry against having Tom Campbell on the air. That's what generated my having him as an interview, that I went on the air. I said, okay, well, that was Tom Campbell. Now, if you want to hear the second part of the interview tomorrow, give us a call, say yes. If you don't want to hear it, give us a call and say no. And the response was overwhelmingly, yeah, put him on again. We want to hear this. Because people like to hear him talking at an almost regular pace.
Who did we sell the overnights to at one point that got ripped off within two overnights? Do you remember that?
No.
We sold it to somebody who later got jailed for something.
Well, that's pretty common, actually.
Yeah, he did get, the guy that used to do the movies overnight on TV.
Jay Brown!
That's right.
And he's back. He's doing all-night movies on the movie channel for Gil Cable right now.
That lasted about 2 days.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He pulled that off real quick.
I met him the other day.
Okay. We're going to roll that tape now. We're ready. We have the tape queued up of the day in...
79, actually.
Was it August 79?
79.
Okay, when Terrell and Thomas...
You've got to remember that we were on the second floor of an old brick building, and that thing was
right above the Kirby vacuum cleaner.
Right, above the optometrist's office.
Oh.
The optometrist who had Kirby the only plunger in the building.
Yeah, right. Right. We frequently visit him.
No, he frequently came up.
Well, let's also explain that the offices that we were in at some time in the 50s had been built as a dentist's office and some other professional offices.
And the ghosts lingered on.
And they burned down once. If you went up in the attic.
Yes, it had burnt down once. And so when you went into that place, it definitely did not look like a radio station.
Mm-hmm. Or smell like one.
Maxine?
Okay. So
Maxine the cat.
I think in August 79 it was that the earthquake hit around 10:05. Terrell and Thomas had just gone on the air, was trying to open his eyes and pretend he was awake. And I think we've got a recording of the cut that was playing as the earthquake happened.
Did you ever take your Saturday bath and try to wash and scrub while squatting down on your haunches in a galvanized washing tub? If not, then you ain't missed a thing, but I'm telling you what's right. I've done it till I was almost grown every doggone Saturday night. In summertime it was bad enough, but in winter it got rough. Spreading papers and filling kettles and all that sort of stuff. But getting ready for that ordeal was only half the rub of taking a bath on Saturday night in a galvanized washing tub.
Thank you.
gave a calf to me for a Christmas present once. I picked a little heifer out, cause both of us was runts. She never had no sense, but she grew up all right somehow. And when it comes to giving milk, she's an...
I'm sorry, we're out of business right now. We just had one hell of a shaker here, boy. All I can tell you is...
felt like King Kong put his foot in it.
King Kong just put his foot down in Gilroy or someplace around here, but boy, we just had a rocker. And so what I'm going to do, I'm going to try and clean this place up. I got cassettes, records, everything is on the floor.
Well, this place was rolling, man.
I mean, we're destroyed right now. I'm surprised we're still on the air. It's KFAT Gilroy. I'm Tara Lynn. Good morning. Whoa, what a way to start a shift, I tell you. Everything's down. My microphone's down.
We all did the right thing. We started running.
We ran like hell.
We all would have been dead.
So if you'll just pardon me for a few long cuts here while I try and straighten everything out. Whoa, we'll keep you posted on this earthquake, though.
Well, guess what, Gilbert?
But
that other tape that you wanted me to play right after that tape, it's not queued up. It's not queued up. You short stopped it.
Are we back on?
So we're back on the air right here.
We are?
How long? Well, I don't know how long is the thing on there.
Can I get an interviewer in here?
Is that...
It's almost a 2 minute
cart. Okay, it's a 2.5 minute cart, so why don't we just stand here and wait for it to re-queue? And then all the folks out there in Radio Land can just pretend that none of this is happening right here.
Why don't we introduce the song by saying that it's the song is called DJ's Nightmare, and it relates to, what it is about the earthquake. Somebody wrote a song and about what had happened.
Oh, and here it is right here.
Monday morning should have been like any other day. Tara Lynn went to work at 10 as a local fat DJ. 10:05 to his surprise, Tiny was turning pale. Cause the earthquake hit an even 6 upon the Richter scale. It was the DJ's nightmare, a terrible thing to see, as Mother Nature did it live on KFAT. Cassettes were falling from the shelves like flakes of driven snow. She uncovered artifacts from Music City Road. Flying everywhere like frisbees in the wind. Waylon, Willie, and Jerry Jeff were coming down on him. Ronstadt hit him in the head and he couldn't believe his eyes. When the Tucker Boys and ZZ Top came sailing from the sky. It was a great Gilroy quake of 1979. Seconds seemed like hours on Mother Nature's time. When it was all over and the lady took her toll, her California has its faults and shade rattling nose. It was DJ's nightmare, a terrible thing to see, as Mother Nature did it live on KFAT. Cassettes were falling from the shelves like flakes of driven snow, as she uncovered artifacts from Music City Road.
Oh, yeah. This is the late, great KFAT, Gilroy. We're going to be taking phone calls from people pretty soon, I think. Unless I get a veto on that, we're going to be taking phone calls from listeners pretty soon, aren't we?
Yeah.
Okay. That doesn't sound like a veto to me, so that'll be happening pretty quick-like.
Laura's chest.
Really? All of you?
Cover yourself.
Somebody just took a picture of Laura's chest.
What?
Let me get in there.
No. You've got work to do, Bill.
Okay.
Hey, what we're going to do is... excuse me for 1 second.
Hey.
Go ahead.
Hey,
we're on.
Quiet!
Hey, we're rolling.
Bill, does that include me?
No. Go ahead.
I wish you'd be more specific. Yeah. We'd like to take some calls from listeners, and if you have a question, give us a call at 408-847-0220 or 847-0330. And what might be the last chew in the fat, this is your chance to talk with myself or any of the strange assorted people here.
Any of the strange assorted individuals.
What is it, line 17? Let's take the first call.
Okay.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
Okay, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I want to thank you all for years of off-the-wall entertainment you've provided us, and wanted to find out if there's going to be any kind of regrouping of KFAT. If there's anything that we can do.
It's harder and more expensive than you may ever imagine.
Yeah. No, you better believe it.
Yeah. Do you have a $500,000, by the way?
Oh, just right
half
here.
A million. That's just the start. Yeah. Hey, $500,000's for the attorney fees.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much for calling. We don't have an answer for that, actually.
Okay, well,
if it's at all possible, we'll try, believe me.
Okay, well, we'll be listening for you.
If we do get an answer, we'll get back to you on that.
All right. Hey, thanks for calling.
All right.
Okay. I mean, after making this beautiful, poignant, moving farewell and saying, I'll never be on the air again, and goodbye, and then getting a call saying I'm on Sunday morning, I figured as long as it's Fat, I'm going to be on the air.
Can we play your Chewing the Fat promo one more time?
You want to do that? Mary, can you find the Chewing the Fat promo? Let me also say what's significant for me, why one of the reasons when Dallas called up and said, do you want to be on the air? My first thought was, won't it be a little tacky to go back on the air after saying goodbye? But then I thought two things. A, why should not be tacky? Why should anything change now? And B... I really wanted to be on the air in January of 83 because I came on the air here in January of 76, and I took the show off the air in January of 80, and I came back on the air in January of 82, and I knew all along that, I mean, I knew 12, 11 months ago that something was going to be happening in January of 83. I just knew it. I mean, I knew months ago that something was going to go on this January, something significant.
I'm going to take the other side of that thing. I'm in debt, actually. I didn't do my work last week, and I didn't write any commentaries because I just couldn't face the whole thing, and I knew I was coming down to the party. And I think it's right handy to just end everything off for Travis T. Hip's side of this thing. So the Rawhide Realities Review was a phenomenon through 82, but there won't be any 83 feeds. If the station doesn't manage to get itself sold in the next 2 days, you'll have to just wake up at 8 o'clock in the morning without me. But I sure have enjoyed, how long have I been here? 77, 78, sometime in that.
Travis,
so I've been here 4 or 5 years.
Is this
a few,
Travis?
It's been some of
the
best. Yeah, this is it for me as far as that goes. I'm going to put on my hat and roll my cruiser out of here, my Morgan Hill Mustang, and head for the mountains.
Travis, it's been a real gas knowing you, and I've always enjoyed your commentaries, and I know that you've meant an awful lot to people. I mean, I've been around when all the calls came in, the letters came in, and I saw the impact that you had, and I've been real proud of the station for having you on, and, you know, proud to say that I was on the same station with you. I mean that.
Well, I've been really lucky in my entire radio career, man. Every radio station I worked for made history and was the one that everybody says, boy, you should have heard it when. And KFAT has perhaps been the high point of
I'm going to say goodbye. And, you know I'm reminded of a cartoon I saw years ago. There was a rocket that was trying to be launched off a pad on Cape Kennedy or Canaveral or whatever they're calling it these days. And the damn thing had obviously not worked. It fell off on its side. And it's just lying flat on its side. And the astronaut gets out of the capsule and says, how am I going to face the gang again after that swill going away party last night? That's kind of what I felt like about today. But who knows? I could be here tomorrow. Could be here next Sunday. Who knows, if you know what I mean. In the meantime, here's Hank Snow, the Rolling Stones, and Hank Snow. Moving on, and I'm still moving on. Keep moving on. Keep practicing. God bless. Bye.
Goodbye,
now.
Gilbert.
Goodbye,
Gilbert.
Bye, Gilbert.
See ya.
Stay fat. Keep practicing.
Big eight-wheel rolling down the track means your true loving daddy ain't coming back, cause I'm moving on. I'll soon be gone. You were flying too high for my little old sky, so I'm moving on. That big loud whistle as it blew and blew said hello to the Southland, we're coming to you and we're moving on. Oh, hear my song. You had to laugh at me, but I've set you free, and I'm moving on. Mr. Fineman, won't you please listen to me, cause I got a pretty mama in Tennessee. Bye.
the great Jimmy Rogers inspired me to start moving on, start rolling on. Said they can't do you wrong if you don't stay too long, so keep a moving on. You know the famous Jimmy, well, he's dead and gone, and my friend Hank Williams, he sung his song, but they both moved on. Yes, they're done long gone. But this old country train is still throwing its flame, still moving on. I played my old guitar and I've sung my songs. I kept them moving on, didn't stay too long. Just stay long enough so I can sing them. I stopped and keep them moving on. Now that outlaw music's got a real good beat, and the new country pop, I gotta say it is sweet. It keeps you moving on. I ain't saying it's wrong. But when it's all disappeared, you're gonna find me right here, still moving on. On the top of the charts, I used to ride with the wind to the number one spot. I'm gonna make it again. I'll keep moving on, keep singing my song. Through the blues and the soul, through the rock and the roll, I'll keep moving on. Yeah, talk to me, guitar. Tell them about me. Well, I see my old buddies and they're just sitting there rocking away in that old rocking chair while I'm moving on, just rolling on. They've shifted to low, but I'm still on the go and still moving on. So let the big wheel roll and let that rattler shake. This old singing ranger ain't intending to break. I'm still moving on, still singing my song. And my old gravy train is still throwing its flame, still moving on.
Oh, 15 or 20.
Yet.
You got Rosemary Woods here at the controls.
Got the chainsaw.
Ready? Take it away. This is Gilbert Klein III, one of my personal friends.
Close personal friend of mine, too.
With his Chewing the Lard promo.
Chewing the resurrecting the chew.
You can't say red. No, you didn't say that. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Gilbert. I'm done plum rose up from the dead. I'll be back this Sunday morning to resurrect Chewing the Fat one more time. Okay, it's this Sunday morning, such as it is, from 8 to 10.
Okay, thanks, Gilbert. Do you think they'll believe that?
Not my problem, Dallas.
Well, as you know, they did believe it, and it did happen, and that's it. Chewing the Fat. Farewell, Gilbert. And good old Mary sitting here engineering, going through all the rigmarole that happens at KFAT on this day, January 3rd, 1983. Good morning to you. This is Felton Pruitt in at about, call it 6 past the hour of the 10 o'clock. Gilbert still wants to hear more Rolling Stones, but we're going to forego his requests and just keep things moving on with David Lindley and a song that's very appropriate, coming at you from the garlic capital of the world, where KFAT, Gilroy, The Turning Point. 1938 here on Fat Radio with Louis Armstrong and Louis Jordan, and You Rascal You. Also heard Chuck Wagon and the Wheels from their latest LP, a tune called Not Fade Away for you fatties out there. David Lindley getting us started with the Turning Point. Going to keep the music rolling at 17 past the hour of 10. Sunday morning on Fat, we're still here. Jim and Jesse McReynolds along with Charlie Louvin. Fine tune called North Wind.
Grass won't grow on concrete. Can't catch fish on Main Street. The stream of traffic ain't no place to swim. Some folks love the city. These neon lights are pretty. But this old boy has had enough of them. So I'm gonna catch a north wind, do a little living. Gonna see the best friend I've ever known. Gonna catch a north wind. Going home.
There's still wide open spaces. Eagles don't live in cages. And the air you breathe is enough to get you high. So I'm gonna catch a north wind. In the pan, gonna tell my Susie that I love her so, and I'll never ever leave again. Gonna catch a north wind, do a little living. Gonna see the best friend I've ever known. Gonna catch a north wind, do a little drifting. Going where my heart's been, I'm going home. Going where my heart's been.
That devil's herd across these endless skies. Yippee! Riders in the sky. Ghost riders in the sky.
You're tuned to The Wide Spot on your FM dial, 94.
One's not mine. Well, anyway, it was complete chip burnout with floppy disk failure. A real total system dump, you know, for certain. And I told the output user, hey, would I de-res my own program? Come on, man, don't call me. Call PG&E. Go somewhere and have a meltdown, man, like burn out. Then I went down to the shack to get some sub-miniature dip relays, and get this, the salesman gave me a new plastic pocket protector.
Look out, Intel, here he comes. He's the king of computers.
I scanned that new program down in word processing, the one with the huge memory banks. Yeah, Julie. Punch my code? I am certain. When I first saw her, I thought, whoa, give me a microsecond. Could I trip her kip relay or what? She sort of smiles at me, and I'm thinking, I have got to access this chick. But should I go subroutine or main program, you know? So I just subtly invade her spatial arena and introduce myself for starts. Hi, I'm Ray Fifo. After a few casual edit statements, I can tell this unit really digs me. I mean, it's modem to the max. The program computes, right? We make plans to meet at her place, and I get there, and she is online. I mean, like she's wearing all this software. I'm calculating the access time to her front-end processor, and there is phase jitter entering all my charge-coupled devices. Her ambient temperature's rising, and she is alpha-fluxing right before my eyes. We skip dinner. After a RAM refresh time interval, she says to me, Ray, I'm all decoded now. I think you better go. And I say, okay, program, I can handle the end sum. And Ray, she says, I hope you won't de-res me in the morning. And I say, moi, de-res a cute little program like you? Hey, I'm a Silicon Valley guy. Come here, you catalytic data, you. Give master control a little phase jitter. Punch my code. Did I ever show you my cathode ray? It is really tubular. Gag me with a microchip. Hey, where is my beeper?
The race is on, and I'm winning, rumbling down the road, all that heavy load. My 18 wheels just keep on spinning round at Frisco Bay. 18 wheels spinning, the race is on, and I'm winning, rumbling down that road, all that heavy load. And my 18 wheels just keep on spinning round at Frisco Bay. That Luma chip gives is reaching on the grapes. It don't matter what I'm hauling, I've got what it takes. Flatbed and bobtails, fans and jokes. When I say go, my rig just jokes. I'm 18 wheels just keep on spinning round at Frisco Bay. 18 wheels spinning, the race is on, and I'm winning, rumbling down that road, all that heavy load. And my 18 wheels just keep on spinning round at Frisco Bay. Thank you.
in tubs of wire on the road, and I can buy tails on bark and seem to stop. Lord knows how I'm crying. I'm rumbling down the big old hill, and I surely hope that I don't spill, because I got to keep the DC wheels a-spinning till the end of a working day. 18 wheels spinning, the race is on, and I'm winning, rumbling down in the road, all that heavy load, and my 18 wheels just keep on spinning round that Frisco Bay.
Greetings. My name is Daffy. There's no other duck like me, because I'm so daffy. And the reason I'm daffy and so gosh darned riff-raffy and so screwy and laffy is because those hunters won't leave me alone. Why don't they hunt some other animal for a change, so that I won't have to end up on a kitchen range? But no, duck hunting's all a rage and they won't let me be. And I'm so full of bullets, I'm lit up like a Christmas tree. There's so much I'd like to do if I just had the chance. I'd like to play and romp and even sing and do a dance. I would read the latest book, go swimming in a babbling brook. I'd like to fly the seven seas, play hide and seek among the trees. I'd play hopscotch and double dutch and this and that and sings and such. I know that isn't asking much, but all these things I dasn't touch. It's bang bang here and bang bang there, bullets flying everywhere. I can't stand it any longer, I get weak and they get stronger. Hunters to the right of me, hunters to the left I see, over hill and over dale, bullets whizzing past my tail. There's no rest and there's no peace, won't they shoot ever cease, morning, noon, and through the night. That's why I look such a fright. Bang, 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 I'm only 16 yards ahead. Bang, 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 they're shooting straight at me. Hoo, 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 they won't let up until I'm dead. Hoo, 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 why can't they let me be? Why don't they hunt big wild moose or chase a reindeer on the loose? If possum, chipmunk, caribou, a rabbit for a rabbit stew. Raccoon, squirrels, porcupine, monkey swinging on the vine. Leopards with or without spots, wildcats with or without dots. Elephants, badgers, kangaroo, lions, tigers, cows that moo. Wolf, mice, and prairie ox, red and gray and silver fox. Daffy, they drive me daffy. Those hunters with their great big guns, they're all their uncles, cousins, fathers, sons, crazy. They got me hazy with all that rootin', footin', hootin', tootin', highfalutin', noisy shooting closer. They're getting closer with shotguns, pistols, bows and arrows, rifles, knives and other deadly trifles. Scram now, while I'm still able. You're nuts if you think that I'm gonna end up on somebody's dinner table. So, goodbye. So long now.
Where else but Fat Radio, good old Mel Blanc there, and the Daffy Duck Rhapsody, bringing us to about 12 minutes before the hour of 1 o'clock. Also heard Commander Cody in there, Norton Buffalo doing the old harp work with 18 Wheels a-rolling, and Don Dada and the Rez Tones starting things out, Silicon Valley guys. Well, good afternoon to you now, Fat Radio, on a Sunday afternoon. I'm Felton Pruitt, going to be around till about 2 o'clock, and then old Wild Bill Goldsmith's going to be in to do what he does.